Hi, Christ Church, and welcome to our live stream. We know these times are hard, and we really want to be a blessing to you. Mm-hmm. So we're so happy that we get to do this together.
Yes, we are. We want to say thank you so much. Because of your generosity, we've been able to help a lot this week, and I just want to share some of the things we've been able to. First, we've been able to pack up food, over 500 bags, and hand those out to our Food for Kids program so the kids have food over the weekends. We also set up a station in Old Brooklyn to have foods ready to go there. We've also been in contact with some of our seniors to see how we can be a blessing to them in this time, and we're going to continue to keep in touch with them throughout the weeks. We've also been able to donate hundreds of dollars worth of food to our Olmsted Community Center that we're partnering with. And we've also been able to help some of our families that have been laid off during this time with grocery carts. So thank you so very much for your generosity. It makes such a difference.
Olmsted Community Center is helping families and kids during this time by giving them food. If you are able and interested in helping, they're looking for non-perishable goods. Some examples are macaroni and cheese, anything snacked for the kids individually, like fruit snacks, goldfish, juice boxes, anything non-perishable.
That's right. We're also going to be helping one of our schools. We want to partner with them, and they've asked us for hygiene kits for the kids and the families that go. So if you're able, we would like to ask for toothbrushes, toothpaste, hand soap, bars of soap, if you have toilet paper to spare. So we will be putting some of those bags together this weekend. You can deliver all of this to the church. We're going to have our doors open Saturday from 9 to 1. You can just open up the front doors and leave them right in the foyer. And we're also going to be open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8:30 in the morning to 7 p.m. at night. You'll be able to drop those off.
At our Columbia Station campus.
That's right. There are two ways to give. The first one is on our Christ Church Ohio website. You can give on the Giving tab there, and also you can give through our Christ Church Ohio app.
We're so happy that you were able to tune in today. We hope that you enjoy our service. God bless.
Hey, church family, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'm looking forward for when we can meet physically together again, but I'm so grateful that we have this opportunity to still stay connected as a church family. And hey, I just want you to know, if you are in need in any way, if you need help, please reach out to your life group leaders, reach out to one of your leaders, reach out to our church. We want to be there for you in every way that we can during this difficult time. And today, I want to talk to you about this topic, how to not lose our minds. 2 weeks ago, when things kind of started ramping up, I got a call that our church wasn't going to be able to meet in the school at North Ridgeville. And then we had to kind of game plan around that. And then we ended up setting up at our South Abbey, and then the night of Friday, our baptismal completely flooded, and we had to figure out how to clean up and get ready for Sunday. And it was one of those weeks where I almost lost my mind because it just felt so crazy and overwhelming. And I know many of us are feeling this pressure in all kinds of different ways. The coronavirus is changing our lives, and we're all in the corona-tine. Just because I'm not in person doesn't mean I don't have really bad dad jokes. I still got them. And life is completely different. And I know there are real concerns with financial issues, so many businesses shutting down. There's so many small businesses in our church. And these are all real issues that we have to navigate. And the good news is that the scripture speaks a lot about this issue. And we're going to look today at what the Apostle Paul says, because he was a man who found himself oftentimes in unwelcome and unfair and unexpected situations. And he's going to tell us how we can not lose our mind, but we can find a sense of peace even in the midst of these types of situations. And here's what he says. Peace, ultimately, is a matter of focus. Peace is a matter of focus. It's what you decide to focus on in your heart, in your mind, with your life. And when we can, with God's help, learn to focus on the right thing, it makes a tremendous difference in times like this. Here's what the Apostle Paul has to say. It's Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, when you read Paul saying this, you might say, man, Paul, that's easy for you to say, but you're not in the middle of the mess that we're in. But here's what I want you to know about the context. Paul is writing this from prison. He's likely facing his own execution, not too far off. And he hasn't done anything wrong. He's actually followed God obediently and courageously, and yet it's brought him to this tough, tough circumstance. But he says, but even in this, rejoice in God. Don't be anxious. Pray about everything. And he goes on, in the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now let's dig into this. The first thing I want to talk about is the nature of the peace that Paul talks about in this passage. So two times he talks about the peace that passes understanding and the God of peace that will be with us. And this is a very powerful thing. It's a peace that doesn't come from your circumstances changing, because what we know about Paul's life is his circumstances would not really change, at least to our best guess, they wouldn't. And many times the peace that we want would be everything going back to normal, but we don't know when that will happen, and that's outside of our control. And Paul says this also just isn't a peace that's about putting our head in the sand and saying, well, I don't care, it doesn't matter, or being really macho and nothing can affect me. It's not an unrealistic peace. It's a peace that is really built on the presence of God in our lives in a very powerful way. Paul says, my peace doesn't come from absence, a changing of my circumstances, life doing a big 180, but it comes from this realization of who God is and that he is with me and his presence changes everything. It reminds me, I read recently about Napoleon, who is one of the great commanders of history and led and tried to build an empire and had a lot of success, didn't quite turn out his way in the end, but still accomplished an incredible amount. And people would write about him, and his soldiers would say that his presence on the battlefield was worth 20,000 men. That's how much his presence changed the feel and the intensity and the energy and the hope of his men. And this is what Paul is saying, is that the presence of God, when we can connect to it, it changes even the most difficult circumstances. So how do we do it? Well, he tells us to focus on a few things, because peace is a result of the right focuses. And the first thing he says is rejoice in the Lord. Focus on rejoicing in the Lord. And here's how I understand it for me. It's amazing how much can be taken away from us in a really short time. You know, just a couple weeks ago, you could go out to eat, you could go to the gym, you could go get your hair cut, you could go get all tatted up if you wanted to. That was just how life was. And now, it feels completely different. And obviously, we're all trying to work together and make a healthy nation for everyone, but it's changed so much. And some of the joys that could be found in those things, we don't have, at least not at this moment. But what Paul says is there is always a strength and a joy that can be found in a relationship with God. And no matter what changes around us, we can always find a sense of joy and well-being that God knows us, that he loves us, that he cares about us, that he won't forsake us or turn his back on us, and that we are his. And Paul says, find some well-being in that. And today, if you feel like you're losing your mind, if you've lost your well-being, I want you to focus on finding some strength and hope in this incredible God that Paul knows and that we can know today. He says, focus on that. Here's the second thing. He says, focus on gentleness in our relationships. He says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. One of the difficulties about crisis moments is they bring out the best in people, but it can also bring out the worst in people. We've seen people act with incredible selfishness during this time, stocking up on toilet paper, selling it out of their trunk, grabbing everything off the shelves, things like that, just being reckless about what's happening. And we've seen some ugly moments, and I'm sure, unfortunately, there will be more. But we've also seen some amazing things. I love what I've seen happen in our church. We had a group from our church that works at Midview School District, and we support some of the kids through the Food for Kids program. And they just pushed and kicked the door open to make sure they could track these kids down and get them extra bags of food during this time. I thought, what an amazing thing. I'm so glad to be part of a church with people like that. One of my friends from the church, he called me up the other day, and he said, Homer. He always calls me Homer. I don't know why, but I always think it's funny. And I said, what's up, man? And he said, I need a list of every elderly person in our church. I said, well, that's kind of a strange request, but what do you want with it? And he said, I want to call everyone and make sure they're okay. I want to make sure they don't need anything. And if they do, I want to figure out a way how to serve them. I thought, that is awesome. That's where your heart is right now. That's what you feel energized to do, is to care for the people in our church. And this is what Paul's saying. You can focus on your own needs, or you can focus on the needs of others. And haven't you noticed that when we focus so much on ourselves, all we do is grow in our anxiety and we lose our peace? But if we can focus on each other, if we can focus on the Lord, I believe we'll experience more peace during this time. So let me give you some ideas. Number one, tell people that you care. We can't see each other. We can't hang out as much. But guess what? We have these amazing things in our pockets called cell phones. And we can text. We can call. We can MySpace people. We can do all that sort of thing to tell people that we care. And we can make intentional time, if you have a family, to spend more time with them and to let them know how important they are. We can show people we care. We can try to meet needs as God gives us opportunity. And what I know about opportunity is the more you're looking for it, the more of it you'll have. And if you're looking to serve people, then God will definitely open up doors and opportunities around you and me, and we can act in the best interests of others. Don't let fear lead you into selfishness. Don't let fear lead you to becoming someone that you're not. With God's help, rise up above that, and let's use this as a time for God to make us into better people, into better servants of other people, not worse ones. And we can focus on that. And then he says, focus on prayer, not anxiety. Do not be anxious, but pray about everything. Let your supplications, let your requests be made known to God. And while you're praying, make sure to pray with a thankful heart. And you know, this reminded me about how absolutely powerful prayer is. And I think one of the best things that you and I can do as followers of Jesus is we can pray for our communities, for our state, and for our country. Every time in the scripture when we see large-scale things happen, we see God's people fast and pray and begin to ask for God's blessings in a special way. And I think that's a great way, church, for us to respond in this season. Let's pray our hearts out for the people affected by this, for the economics affected by this, and for each other. And let's make sure to pray for our own personal struggles and our own personal worries. God says, hey, process that to me in the form of prayer, because we have a heavenly Father that absolutely loves us and will not leave us or forsake us during this time. This reminded me My daughter's now just a little bit over 1 year old, and my wife's really good about teaching her sign language, and she's kind of starting to pick up on it. And she's spent a lot of time teaching her this sign, which, if you know what it means more. And Emery, that's my daughter, she has a lot of unique ways of doing everything. And so what she does to show more is she doesn't do this, she does this. I'm not sure how it happened, but that's her more sign. And she loves to use it, believe it or not. So we feed her food, and guess what? It's always more. Give her a little bit of milk, she wants some more. Give her, you know, hang out with her now, everything. But I got to tell you, every time I see it, I'm like, give that baby whatever she wants. I don't care. It's too cute. You're not doing it right, but that makes it cuter. Whatever she needs, she wants, because I love her and delight in her in such a crazy way. But I want you to know, when you ask your Heavenly Father for more help, for more grace, for more resources, for more needs to be met in your life, His heart melts for you and for me in a way that we could never understand. I just see Emery do it, and my heart melts in a unique way as a new dad. But here's what I know. God loves you even more than I love my daughter. It's unbelievable. And so maybe our prayers aren't perfect, and maybe they're not as amazing as we want them to be, but here's what you need to know. You just reach out to your Father. He's delighted to meet the needs in your life. And we don't have to live anxious about everything that is or isn't happening, but we can trust that He hears, that He cares, and that He'll act. And so Paul says, focus on that. Now, here's the blessing of a different focus. When we focus on these things, He says the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the blessing. When our focus is on others, when our focus is on prayer, when our focus is on these types of things, God will guard us with a peace that is greater than our circumstances. And friends, that's my real hope for you today, that your circumstances, like all of us, they're a little bit out of control right now. We don't know where it's going to go. We don't know where it's going to end. We don't know how it's going to impact all of us. We can make guesses. We can make assumptions. But ultimately, there's a lot more we don't know than we do know. But even in the midst of this uncertain time, we can be guarded in our hearts and minds by a peace from Jesus Christ. It won't make sense with our circumstances. You'll wake up and you'll be like, well, I should be more wigged out than I am right now. I should be more anxious than I am, but I'm staying strong. I'm holding out. It's because you're being guarded by this incredible peace that Jesus Christ offers to each one of us. And one of the most powerful stories about how enriching and fortifying this can be in our life is a story about Horatio Spafford. And in 1870s, him and his family were from Chicago. And if you know the story, Chicago burned down. Just a huge fire, totally devastated the city. And so he sent his wife and his four daughters to England for the time being to get back on their feet. And as the boat was crossing the Atlantic, it crashed into another boat. His wife and his daughters ended up in the sea outside of a lifeboat, and all four daughters died. And he got a message back from his wife, saved alone. And so he went on a ship, as you can imagine, to go to England and go see his wife. In the midst of these terrible, difficult, painful circumstances, and while he was on that ship, and while he was at the place where he lost his daughters, he wrote this hymn that many of you might know. It's called, "It Is Well With My Soul." Right in that place. It is well. That doesn't make sense. How can it be well right in this moment? But there was a peace of God that he was able to cling to. And I'm sure the most painful moment in his life. And he said this in the song. He said, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. He said, I have a peace that comes from Jesus Christ. And I want to end today because maybe you're tuning in and you've never been to our church, you've never really been to church before, you've never considered yourself a religious or a spiritual or a believer in God or Jesus Christ or anything like that. But maybe all of this has stirred up a new hunger, a new desire in your soul, and you know you can't get through this time alone, that you weren't meant to, that you need help outside of yourself. And I want to give you good news today that all of us, no matter how messed up we are, no matter how good we might think we are in our own mind, all of us can have this peace that Horatio Spafford was talking about. Because Jesus Christ offers to all of us total forgiveness from our worst mistakes, from our brokenness, from our failures. And I believe that real peace begins by knowing Christ personally, by receiving that forgiveness and knowing in your heart that no matter what happens in this life, you are guaranteed to enter into heaven with a God that loves you, that adores you, and that is crazy about you. And it's not because of what you've done or what you haven't done. It's because of what he wrote about here. That when Christ went to the cross, he endured the wrath of God, the full justice of God, so that you and I from today and forever can live in the blessing and the love and the peace of God. And today you can have that. All you have to do is ask Christ for it. Say, I want some more. I want your love. I want your peace. I need your grace. I need your help right now. And he will surely come. And I want to lead you through a prayer. If this is your first time opening your heart to God, committing yourself to God, then you just pray this in my heart, in your heart, while I pray it out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, we just invite you now to guard our hearts and minds through the peace that you offer. Father, for those of us making a commitment to you the first time, Lord, we acknowledge that we need your forgiveness, that we're lost without you, but that you came down for us. You went to the cross. You died for our sins. You rose again so that we would be forgiven and reconciled to you. And so, Lord, we say we receive that work. We find strength and joy and hope in it. And we declare you Lord and King of our lives. And we want you to lead us through this time and to guard us with your peace. Help us now. Bless these good people. And may we experience this peace that passes understanding. We ask this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.